At almost exactly 5 minutes of 1 o'clock, the parade got underway. Perhaps the last phrase is not a precise expression of the fact. There was no reliable observer who actually saw the parade get underway. Let us be meticulous and say that in the very near neighborhood of 1 o'clock that day, the parade was marching up Fifth Avenue. Today's Columbia Workshop program, The Parade, was written by Margaret LeWorth, based upon a story by Morris Markey, which appears in the December issue of McCall's magazine. The special musical score was composed and is conducted by Robert W. Stringer, and the workshop director is Richard Samville. We remind you that 5 years ago, the United States was precipitated into war by the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, The Parade. Time, early December 1946. The place, recorder's office, police headquarters, 18th Precinct, New York City. It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
All right, now quiet, quiet. How many of you really saw this thing?
I saw it.
Well, some of you say it didn't happen. Well, now wait a minute. Now see here. Either there was a parade in this city yesterday or there wasn't. And we're going to get the facts. Officer McShane?
All I know is I got orders.
When?
About 8 o'clock in the morning, right after I come on duty. I got orders to cut off all traffic coming down the avenue.
Who gave you those orders?
A couple of guys in the squad car. I don't know all of them, but those fellas acted like they knew what they were talking about.
And then what happened?
I cut off the cross street traffic, and about 1 o'clock it began.
What began, McShane?
The parade, I'm telling you. They marched up Fifth Avenue like they always do, from downtown right on up.
Excuse me, officer.
Yes, madam?
I was in the park with Tommy, my son, officer. He's 4. He loved parades. We never miss them, and we didn't hear a thing all afternoon.
Well, that could be, ma'am, that you didn't hear anything.
What do you mean? If there was a parade, you could hear the band.
There wasn't any band.
A parade 60 blocks long up Fifth Avenue, and you couldn't hear anything? Now, McShane, this is a serious matter.
He's crazy, Your Honor. I've been selling flags and buttons for parades in this city for 25 years. I heard nothing about no parade yesterday.
Order! Order!
Excuse me, officer.
Yes, what is it? Oh, Your Reverence. You have something to say about all this?
Yes. Yes, I have. There was a parade yesterday. I saw it.
So did I, officer. I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh, no. Order!
I'd like to testify, too, if I may. I saw the parade.
So did I.
Heaven help me, so did I.
This requires some investigation. A city of 7 million people, a mild and sunny day, crowds out on the streets, and no one agrees whether there was a parade or not. No one, that is, but Timothy McShane, Traffic Squad B, and 4 witnesses, 4 unknown people from the city's masses. Perhaps it would be wise to go back to yesterday morning and the 4 witnesses who were so sure. You, sir, in the blue suit, what is your name?
My name is Benton, Philip Benton. I saw the parade. I can't tell you who was parading. All sorts of people. Yet in the sun and haze, they looked the same. My business? I manufacture machine parts. I'm president of a company. I have one son. I had one son. We were sitting at home one evening about 5 years ago, my wife, my son, and I. We had a little apartment then on the west side. We were listening to the radio.
According to dispatches from Honolulu...
Turn it off, Philip. Turn it off.
All right, dear.
But this is important, Mother. Don't you realize it's war?
I've listened all I can. Oh, Harry, your new suits came this afternoon. You can take them back to college with you tomorrow.
Mother, I'm not going back to college tomorrow.
What?
Well, I didn't quite know how to tell you, but I guess it's better to get right to the point. I signed up with the Marines this afternoon.
Harry, you didn't.
Well, that's quite a step to take, son.
Well, there didn't seem to be anything else to do.
You might have talked to us. You might have at least finished this year at school.
All the fellas will be in it. Besides, well, I thought you might like me in a Marine uniform.
I can't talk about it.
Son, I'm proud of what you've done. And I'm not letting you down. About the only thing I could do at my age is make machine parts. But I've already been in touch with Washington.
Oh, good for you, Dad.
They're going to get the best machine parts in the country if I have to make them by hand. That was 5 years ago. My business grew during the war. A lot of things happened. You know how it was. Then the morning of the parade. We were living on Park Avenue by then. My wife was having breakfast in bed. I was at the window.
Philip, you look worn. You need a vacation.
Do I?
You've been working too hard. What's the good of making all that money if you can't spend it?
Sometimes I wonder.
You are in a mood. Why don't we take a trip? Bermuda. Or Mexico. Or Acapulco might be nice now.
I can't get away now.
Work, work, work. Don't you care anything for me? Especially now that...
Oh, of course I do.
Where are you going?
Out for a walk in the park. To think.
Get back, sir. You can't cross the street now.
Why not?
The parade's coming up this way.
What parade?
I don't know, sir. I just got me orders. I'm roping off the streets now.
You blame many parades, if you ask me, tying up the
street. I'm only doing my duty, sir.
That's how I came to be there when the parade passed. For it passed. I know it passed. I saw it.
So put that down. Philip Benton, business executive of Park Avenue, saw the parade. Next witness.
My name's Gloria Lacey. It was Gloria Dugan. That is, well, I guess I'd better start at the beginning. It was 2 years ago, in a little town upstate. It was a spring evening. I can remember how nervous I was standing there in that strange house.
Do you, Peter, take this woman, Gloria, to be your wedded wife?
I do.
Do you, Gloria, take this man, Peter, to be your wedded husband?
I do.
I pronounce you man and wife.
Oh, Pete.
It's all done, baby. For better or worse. You're mine and the whole Navy and every Nazi submarine and the drink won't keep us apart. I'll be back to you, baby. Don't forget that. I'm coming home to you, Mrs. Dugan.
I'll be waiting, Pete.
$2, please.
And that's how it started. It was romantic, too. Pete had only 3 days, but it was like seeing the whole world for the first time. After he left, it was sort of sensible to come to the city. I got a furnished room and a job as a waitress. It was kind of tough. I guess lots of girls know how that was. Then, one day... I guess you ain't interested in all that. I'm not the only girl who... You wanted to know about the parade, yeah? I ain't apt to forget it. Eddie came to me in the flat that morning, and we were drinking our coffee, me and Eddie.
Love me a little, kid?
Sure, Eddie, sure I do. Only you think my being with you wasn't enough. You gotta talk about it all the time.
Sure, I gotta talk about it. And if you don't like the idea...
Eddie, put me down on the floor. You big bully.
Okay, baby, okay. Give us a kiss first.
Why don't you save that muscle for them cars you knock apart at the garage?
Listen, I'm the best mechanic in Hoboken. And a lot more reliable than the Navy.
Leave off that.
Well, did he come home to you? Just took a powder, don't kid me. Where are you going?
Not for a walk. I gotta do some marketing.
You're sore.
No, I ain't sore, Eddie. I ain't sore.
Move along, miss. Move along.
I got a ride on this sidewalk.
But not in the gutter. The parade's coming through in a few minutes.
A parade? Gee, who's parading?
I don't know, miss. Move along.
Oh, not me. If there's a parade, little Glory isn't going to miss it. No, sir, I'm staying right here. That's how I come to see it. I was standing right there on the edge of the curb. I could have touched him. Only I couldn't. I could only stand and look at him. Like my eyes were frozen in my head. I could only stand and look at him.
A court of law wouldn't consider that conclusive evidence, but we'll add it to the testimony. Gloria Lacey, waitress, saw the parade. Next witness?
My name is Joe Shaw. Yeah, I saw the parade. Nobody's going to tell me different. I guess you might begin back about 10 years ago. Me and my brother Clem, he's my younger brother, living in a rooming house together. We were sitting up one night figuring things.
Not bad, Joe, for the first 6 months. If we finish the year like this...
Chicken feed.
I'm glad to get it.
Sure, you're always satisfied with small-time stuff, but I'm out for big time. Now, what's the first trouble? Too much competition, yeah?
There's enough business for everybody, Joe.
Not for me.
I don't want to do business that way.
Look, Clem, you want to marry Sadie, don't you?
You know I want to marry Sadie.
You got a chance if you play ball with me.
And if I don't?
Start a business of your own, then. I'll give you back half of this. I don't need your share now. Go on, get out.
Okay, Joe. Let's go over the figures. Maybe you know better.
That was Clem. No head for business. But he had a way of making friends, so he stuck it out. We got along pretty well. Had a nice little business. Sort of essential, too. Hardware is. When they started the shooting, Clem enlisted. Tried to talk him out of it, but you couldn't tell him anything. I was doing my part, running the business single-handed with almost no help. You know how that was. The parade? Oh, yeah. The parade. That morning, I went to see Sadie. I used to go see her regular, like. Thought I ought to.
Is that all you can give me this month, Joe?
Business ain't so good, Sadie.
Everybody says times are better. I know Clem always says...
Clem ain't running the business now. You can't get supplies. The help want more money. It's all I got.
Well, thank you, Joe. It was only that Clem always said the business would take care of us.
Do you want the money or don't you? I got things to do.
I want it, Joe.
Keep inside the lines there. Stand back. Hey, where are you going?
Downtown. Well, what's the crowd for?
Haven't you heard about the parade?
What parade?
The parade up Fifth Avenue. It's already started. They'll be along here any time now.
I didn't hear about it. I don't hear anything now.
Well, I can't help that. Stand back.
I see him.
Stand back.
I see him coming now. Look, they're coming along. But they don't make any noise.
They don't make any noise at all. What is it?
So we know Ben Shaw saw it. Yes, that will go into the evidence. Ben Shaw was there, too. Now, are there any more witnesses? Oh, yes, the gentleman in the Oxford cloth coat. Do you want to testify, sir?
There was a parade. I saw it. As God is my witness. But I guess I'd better tell it from the beginning. My name is Claude Cartwright. It began 20 years ago, early summer. My friend Charles and I had just graduated from the theological seminary. One afternoon, we went to call on the bishop to receive our appointments. I remember it as if it were yesterday. Charles walking with his head up in that big stride.
Where do you think we'll be sent, Claude?
I don't know. You might get a mission.
Not after what I said to the dean.
What was that?
We ought to make Christianity work at home before we take it abroad.
Radical, my boy, radical. How do you like that?
You can guess. Claude, let's make a pledge. Just between ourselves.
What kind of pledge?
We know what we want to do. We know there's a lot of good in people if you can find it. There's a way to help people. Let's pledge never to become too satisfied.
I'll pledge that, Charles.
So I ask, as your bishop, only that you both go in humility to whatever task the world calls you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, Charles, you first. How would you like a church big enough for that fine voice of yours?
Where is it, sir?
St. Paul's needs a new assistant.
St. Paul's?
Splendid opportunity.
That means I'd have to do just what they wanted.
I might remind you the church is quite old. You are quite young.
Yes, sir. I might as well say it.
Say what?
I didn't become a minister to step into old shoes.
Indeed.
I don't want a big church that's all wrapped up in paying mortgages and holding parish teas. I want to help people find a way of life, whether they come to church or whether they don't. I want to give them strength to live, not hope to die.
Very commendable, no doubt. And you think St. Paul's isn't large enough for your point of view?
No, it isn't. It isn't.
I didn't see Charles for many years. He went from one poor parish to another. When the war broke out, he was still a drifter. I heard he signed up. Then I lost track of him. We all had heavier duties in those trying years. Oh, yes. Parade. That's what you asked me about. The parade. Well, that morning I was at my desk.
St. Paul's Rectory. Oh, yes, Mrs. Townley. Yes, Dr. Cartwright's right here. For you, sir.
Thank you. Yes? Good morning, Mrs. Townley. Ah, yes. Yes, of course, I quite agree with you. This morning? Oh. Oh, yes, yes, I can arrange it. I'll be there within an hour. Cancel my appointments until this afternoon, please.
The boys' club, too?
Mrs. Townley is giving the church a new chancel rail. I don't like to offend her.
Sorry, Your Reverence, but you can't cross the street now. The parade's coming any minute.
I didn't know there was a parade today.
Oh, they've already passed 42nd Street.
I'm afraid this is going to tie me up rather badly.
I'd let you through, sir, but I have me orders.
It's all right. It's quite a crowd.
Yes, sir.
Is that the parade coming now?
Yes, sir.
Look at them. Look at them, officer. Look. Their faces. Their faces. Their expressions. They're smiling. God, they're smiling.
Is that all the testimony? No, we could go on indefinitely. The city is full of people who say they saw it. But surely that is enough to convince you that something took place. Mr. Benton, the executive, Gloria, the waitress, Ben, the salesman, and no less an authority than the Reverend Dr. Cartwright. Yes, there must have been a parade. But it was unlike any parade New York had ever seen before. It started downtown, no one knew exactly where, but there it was. No flags, no bands, nothing but men. Just men, column after column, line after line of marching men, their feet striking the pavement in exact rhythm.
Why can't you hear something? Why don't they make some noise? Why don't they make some noise?
Not a sound. You thought you heard marching feet because you wanted to, but when you looked away, if you could, the city was as silent as if the parade went on.
Why did they look like that? Why did they look that way? Let me out of here. I want a drink.
On they came, men in brown, men in green and drab, men in white, such as the fleet orders at Pearl Harbor and such faces. Men in patched blue denims, dirty, torn, some of them badly stained. It might have been oil. And then it happened. The first unusual incident. It was Gloria, the little waitress, standing there on 28th Street watching them pass. Suddenly she ran into the street, caught at a marcher, a boy in blue denim.
Pete! Oh, merciful heavens, it's you, Pete. It's you. Pete, don't turn away from me. Listen to me. I played a lousy trick on you, Pete. You know it now. Oh, Mother Mary, make him hear me. It wasn't any fun, Pete. You know it wasn't. But I was alone and you didn't come back. You were gone too long. I didn't know that... Oh, St. Agnes, make him hear me. Pete, forgive me. Forgive me. Look at me. Look at me.
There were those who said he lifted his hands and touched her cheek and smiled at her. But the tide of the march was too strong and she was cast aside like a leaf from a swift current. By this time, crowds had gathered all along the way. Rich and poor, fashionable and shabby stood together. One thing was odd. In contrast to the serene faces of the men, the crowds looked white and stricken. Everywhere along the line, people broke from the curb to cling for a moment to some marching figure before they too were swept from the current.
Mommy, hold me higher. Higher. I can't see any parade.
Hush, Jimmy. Oh, hush.
It was just below the library that Joe Shaw was standing. You remember he just left his sister-in-law, Sadie. Now, Sadie would have thought his face quite gray. He sagged a little. He twisted his derby in his hand. Suddenly, he too broke from the crowd toward a marcher in dirty drab.
Clem, it's you. You've come back. Well, don't stare at me like that. I'm admitting it. I was a dirty rat. I robbed Sadie of your share of the business. You know I did. You know it all now. But I'll make it up. I swear I will. I'm paying her back today. Ain't that okay, Clem? Don't look at me like that. Don't.
Joe fell back against the curb. Someone helped him up to the sidewalk. But it seemed the marcher's stern face relaxed. He smiled slightly. The parade reached the cathedral now. It is usual for parades in New York at this point to pass a reviewing stand filled with important people. But there were no dignitaries today, no important people, just crowds filling every foot of space, men and women and the children who couldn't see it. It was here that Philip Benton, the factory owner, was standing. Something had gone from his assurance. His eyes behaved curiously. Suddenly he broke from the crowd. He hurried beside the marchers, trying to keep pace, but it seemed he was losing ground.
Harry, my son. Oh, my son, it is you. You know what I did now. I sold you out. Yes, you and the rest with you. I wanted to help at first, but the money was too easy. Forgive me, Harry. I forgot.
There wasn't much more that happened. The parade was slowing down. The ranks of men were gathering deeper and deeper. As the tide of them backed up and filled the great avenue, an elderly man in Oxford cloth was seen kneeling on the sidewalk. The crowds parted a little for him. He seemed to be reaching toward a tall, gaunt, gray-faced marcher.
Charles, in the name of all things holy, give me your pardon. I broke the pledge we made. I have lived a worldly life. I sought to please vain people for my own vanity. I let faith go while you kept it. I turned from you and all these like you because it was easier. Charles, hear me. Don't turn from us now. We need you, Charles. We need you.
But the crowds closed in, and no one knew if Dr. Cartwright saw the gesture of benediction from the hand of the tall gray marcher. Now the avenue and its sidewalks were a solid tide of humanity, and the men had stopped marching. They stopped before a big bronze monument that shows other men with fixed bayonets wearing the stiff hats and puttees of 1917, but men whose bronze faces bore the youth and the strength of these. Now they stood quietly, the men in blue, in whites, in dirty browns, in tattered green, men as far as you could see. How many? There were those who knew the number to be 382,532. A hush had fallen upon the city. Even the birds were quiet in the still, warm sunlight. No face stood out, no voice commanded. There was no leader, only the quiet. The waiting, white-faced crowds, and the rows upon rows of silent men. Then it filled the air. The voice from nowhere.
We come to you as fragments of an hour, the relics of momentous dreams. We come to ask a question. Was it a tawdry dream you dreamt, and we, an idle fancy fit now for cynic jest? From our peculiar place of meditation, we think no. A loud and ringing and echoing no. But then, our answer is of small avail. Remember well that men have died this year, last year, 1,000 years gone for liberty. And always there were those who did not die, who in revulsion toward the bloody scenes, the pains and deprivations of the fight, cast out the hard-won grace of liberty and soiled its name with greed for selfish gain. We come today because we nurse the fear that you, in terror of your own dark thoughts, have draped forgetfulness upon the very things which yesterday gripped every decent heart and sent ourselves upon the fields of war. It would be idle now to name, to spell as maxims in a copybook, each thing for which we fought upon these fields. Perhaps, when as we fought, we were not sure ourselves. But now we truly know. We fought against the crime and curse of greed, greed that charts our latitudes of fear and builds an even viler crime, injustice. Oh, it is the right of man and of each nation to seek out profits from fair enterprise. But neither man nor nation has the right to profit from humiliation of another or cast indignities to bolster up a purse. We shall not come again to march your streets in massive ranks and startle out your eyes. But singly and in good while, we shall return to look into the reaches of your souls. And we shall ask those times another question. Men long ago set out upon the paths which we have trod and reached the same dark end. With their last breaths, they lifted up a cry. Fitting, yea, sweet, to die for one's own land. Our question, is that true? Think well your answer. Thank you.
have just heard The Parade by Margaret LeWorth as based upon the story They Passed This Way by Morris Markey, which appears in the December issue of McCall's magazine. Today's musical score was composed and conducted by Robert W. Stringer, and the workshop director was Richard Sandville. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.